Thank you. You may be seated. Voices of praise, would you come now and sing? All right. God bless you as you come.
Sing the story. A sinner has come home, has come home. Oh, there's a new name written down in glory. And it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam. I'll be no stranger when I reach my home in glory land. My name is in the book of life. The blessed Savior wrote it when he saved my soul from sin. He saved my soul from sin and strife.
He wrote my name way up in glory land.
He saved my soul.
Jesus saved my soul from sin and shame.
From sin and shame.
I never shall forget the day.
These young ladies have done a positively outstanding job, haven't they? We're delighted they're here. What a delight to see clean-cut lives dedicated to Jesus Christ. You know, as I've watched all these young people sing this week, I thought the devil'd love to have every one of them. What a delight that they're singing for Christ tonight. Well, we're going to hear from Dr. Tom Malone. And boy, to introduce him, a man who knows him and loves him intimately. Brother Richard Wallace, you come.
Some years ago, I graduated from Midwestern Baptist College. It is a preacher school, and there are literally across the country now hundreds of men that are preaching and pastoring and are missionaries and are evangelists that have been trained under the ministry of Dr. Tom Malone. When you think of a preacher, as Brother Taylor said, of the independent fundamental Baptist movement, the first man's name that comes to your mind is Dr. Tom Malone, a prince of preachers. Dr. John R. Rice said the mightiest preacher he thought of this century alive today, and what a great preacher Dr. Tom Malone is. I count him as a dear friend, and am so glad to have the privilege to introduce to you your preacher for tonight, Dr. Tom Malone.
I will soon be speaking, preaching for 56 years. If the Lord tarries his coming till the month of August, and I tarry my going, and I certainly intend God helping me to tarry my going. And so for 56 years, I've been trying to preach this wonderful book. And every time I've ever heard a visiting speaker get up, he always says the very first thing, "I'm happy to be here." And I've often wondered how many of them really meant it. But I want to tell you, I really mean it tonight. I mean it deep down in my heart. Because at my age, I'm happy to be anywhere in the world. And I'm certainly happy to be here under this tent tonight. I've heard so many wonderful things about the services that have already taken place this week. When I met Brother Wallace at the airport, he's telling me what great preaching had been under this tent this week. And every time I'd meet someone, they'd say it's been great. Everybody's preached great. And I felt like getting on the plane and going back home. And then hearing Brother Garris tonight, I'll tell you, it's a hard act to follow. But thank God for this wonderful meeting. And I want to thank Brother Randy Taylor for this wonderful honor. I feel so unworthy of it. I really do. I know you think I'm lying, but I do feel unworthy of it. But I thank Brother Taylor, and I thank God for him and what he's doing for the Lord. And I pray for him. And it's just a wonderful privilege to be here. Now, I don't know whether you know it or not, but there's an hour difference in time, Texas time and Michigan time. And by the way, I'm not a Yankee. I was born in New Orleans, Louisiana, and I was raised in Alabama, and I went to school in Tennessee, and I was married in Ohio, and I've been preaching in Michigan ever since. But I'm a Southerner, and I'm glad to be here. But it's our difference in our time. It's about 10 minutes till 10 at home tonight. My wife always prays for me while I'm preaching. She tries to get the time and know when I'm preaching, and she prays for me. When I opened my briefcase at the motel room, I spent about 15 minutes there before I came here. There was a beautiful little note fell out from my wife, and I always get one. Everywhere I go, she slips one in somewhere and says, "I'll be praying for you." Well, now, Joyce doesn't know there's an hour difference in time, so she's quit praying several minutes ago. So you're going to have to pray with me and help me tonight. It's a little bit late. But please don't leave me. I may go to sleep while I'm preaching. I don't know. I've had a lot of other folks go to sleep while I was preaching. But if I go to sleep, for God's sake, don't leave me here. Because about 3 o'clock in the morning, the devil would say, "See, the Lord's come, and you were left behind. You missed out on the head busting. So don't leave me. You stay with me. And you pray while we try to bring you the message from the Word of God." I want you to turn with us tonight in the book of 2 Kings. And I want to read from chapter 1 of 2 Kings. And I thank God tonight for this wonderful Bible. You know, I thank God it's a perfect book, and I love the Bible. Doesn't need any addition, no correction, nothing taken from it. Thank God tonight for the Holy Bible. I like it just like it is, and there won't ever be any more. This is all there's going to be. Thank God for the Bible. Let's read the wonderful Word of God tonight in 2 Kings chapter 1. Then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, "Go inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease." But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, "Arise and go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say unto them, Is it not because there's not a God in Israel that you go to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore thus saith the Lord, Thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die." And Elijah departed, and when the messengers turned back unto him, he said unto them, "Why are you now turned back?" And they said unto him, "There came a man of God. There came a man to meet us and said unto us, Go turn again unto the king that sent you and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Is it not because there is not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shall surely die. And he said unto them, What manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words? And they answered him, He was an hairy man, and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, It is Elijah the Tishbite. Then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50. And he went up to meet him, and behold, he sat upon the top of a hill. And he spake unto him, Thou man of God, the king hath said, Come down. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, If I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and commanded and consumed him and his 50. Again also he sent unto him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus hath the king said, Come down quickly. And Elijah answered and said unto them, If I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And he sent again a captain of the third 50 with his 50. And the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burnt up the two captains and the former 50s with their 50s. Let therefore my life now be precious in thy sight. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, Go down now with him and be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. And he said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, For as much as thou hast sent messengers to inquire unto Baalzebub, the god of Ekron, is it not because there is no god in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore thou shalt not come down off thy bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And I would like to call to your attention tonight a wonderful question asked in verse 7 in this wonderful part of the Word of God. And he said unto them, This is a godless king. This is a man that had no thought of God. This is a man who did not know the meaning of prayer. This is a man who knew nothing about forgiveness. This is a man who knew nothing about God and the way he works. This man said to his messengers whom he'd sent, What manner of man was this which came up to meet you and told you these things? And I'd like for you to notice this question tonight. What manner of man was he? And I'm speaking to you tonight on what kind of a man was Elijah. You say, Well, preacher, that's in the Old Testament. There's never going to be any more people like Elijah. I don't buy that. I don't go for that. Right. I think what God did in one day, he is able to do in our day. Right. And what we need in this day and hour is some people of God who love God and believe the Bible, who live like Elijah lived. You know, God really must have thought highly of Elijah. When Elijah was so mightily used of God, I think the Lord put his stamp of approval upon him. And God seems to say in his word, this is the kind of a preacher, and this is the kind of a Christian that we need in this day. Why, one day they were talking to Jesus about John the Baptist and about the Bible teaching that Elijah will come back again. And Jesus said, Why, Elijah has already come in the person of this mighty preacher, this man of God, John the Baptist, Elijah has already come. God is saying, Elijah was worth duplicating. He's worth making again. And I believe God is still able to make Elijahs, even in your day and mine. I think God liked Elijah, was pleased with Elijah, because Elijah could bring fire from heaven. And I want to say to you tonight, that's what we need in America and in our churches and in the independent Baptist movement and in the fundamentalist movement. We need more than anything else in the world. We need to have the fire of God upon our ministry and upon our work. Elijah could call fire down from heaven. You know, there are a lot of people that say, well, you can't have revival. You can't see great numbers of people saved in this day and time. So many other things have gotten the attention of people. But I want to tell you, I believe tonight that a praying man or woman can get the attention of God. And I believe the days of revival are by no means over. When God's people believe, they can get fire from heaven and have revival. I was saved in 1935. August the 12th, 12 o'clock noon, on a Wednesday at 12 o'clock, in a little country church, God saved my soul and called me to preach. And it took place in a revival atmosphere. And I believe that can happen again. I believe God can send a revival tonight to your church, to your home, and to your heart, and to your life. I believe the Christian that wants revival badly enough to pay the price can have revival tonight. We can still get fire out of heaven. Well, I remember when I first got saved, I was so fortunate. I met the old Dr. Bob Jones Sr. He was not old then. He was 54 years of age. He brought the greatest preachers in America to the little college in Cleveland, Tennessee, so that they could preach to us students. I remember an old man, Henry Clay Morrison. I doubt if there's anybody on this tent tonight old enough to have heard and remember Henry Clay Morrison. Now, he wasn't a Baptist, at least he wasn't then. He's in heaven now, and no doubt he is, but he wasn't then. He wore his hair long like a prophet. We wouldn't let him in Midwestern Baptist College. He couldn't have gone to Howells Anderson School, but he was what a mighty man of God. And I heard him preach. I just saved. And he was preaching about revival and how anywhere, at any time, when God's people meet God's condition, God can bring a revival. You know, a lot of people don't know what revival is. I had a young man, 18 years of age, in Emmanuel Baptist Church, who came to Midwestern Baptist College, and he saw scores of people being saved, and the fire of God, and the blessing of God upon a church. And he said, preacher, I was saved in a fundamental Baptist church, but I've never seen a revival before in my life. Oh, tonight, that our generation might see revival. Oh, Dr. Morrison said God laid upon his heart a town in Kentucky where he wanted to see a church started and people saved and a work of God and a revival. Said he didn't know a soul. Oh, Dr. Morrison said he went in that town, and a little Kentucky town where there were hundreds and thousands of people. And he said to someone when he came into town, he stopped in a little general merchandise store. He said to the proprietor of that store, do you know of anybody in this town that loves God, knows how to pray, believes the Bible, and wants to see souls saved? Said the man in the store, said, after he hesitated a moment, yeah, come to think of it, only one I know, you just go on the way you're going. Go right through town. You'll make a right turn out here. And up on the hill is a little old shack. Said a little old woman lives in that shack.
I believe she loves God. She believes the Bible. She knows how to pray. She loves to see people saved. That's the only one I know of. You can go see her. He said he walked on down, came to a blacksmith shop. Old Henry Clay Morrison said to the blacksmith, "You know of anybody in this town who loves God, knows how to pray, believes the Bible, wants to see souls saved?" Said the old blacksmith said, "Just go on the way you're going. Go right down and turn that curb, and up on the hill there'll be a little shack. There's an old lady lives there by the name of Mrs. McPhee. If there's anybody in this town that loves God, believes the Bible, knows how to pray, and wants to see people saved, that old woman does." He said he went, knocked on that little shack door, and he said a woman with her dress down, right down over her shoes, and her hair balled up on the back of her head, an old-fashioned country woman, came to the door, and he said, "My name is Henry Clay Morrison. I want to see a revival in this town. I want to see people saved. I want to see the fire of God come on this place." Said the old woman, lifted her hands in the air and began to shout and praise God. And she said, "Young man, I never saw you before, but for 40 years I've been praying for God to sweep through this city and through this area and save people and bring a mighty revival." And old Dr. Morrison said, he said in a few weeks that town began to be shaken and souls were saved, and the work of God had the mighty power of God upon it in that place. I want to ask you tonight, somebody to come down your street and knock on your door and say to you, "Do you know anybody in this community who believes the Bible, loves God, knows how to pray, wants to see people saved? Who would you tell them?" I want to tell you tonight what we need in America more than anything else in the world is what this dear brother has on his heart: God to save America. And that'll never happen until God sends an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival in our midst. Oh, I heard a theologian not long ago, a dispensationalist, and I know there are such things as dispensations, but I heard one say, "You know, Brother Tom, there's not going to be any revivals in our day." He said, "The days of revival are gone." I have news for you. When God's people pay the price set forth in the Bible, God will do what he did when Elijah was here. When he brought fire from heaven, God can do it again. I don't tell you, it won't come through a program. And I believe in programs. It won't come just through advertising. It won't come from publicity. It'll come when a group of people are willing to humble themselves, confess their sins, get thoroughly right with God, and claim from God a revival from heaven. Old Dr. Lakin said to me years ago, he said to me, "Tom, if anybody ever asks you to come to Wooster, Ohio," he said, "don't go." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because it's a graveyard of evangelism." So I didn't worry about it because nobody had ever asked me to go to Wooster, Ohio anyway. But one day the phone rang and a man on the other end of the line said, "Brother Tom," and he gave me his name. He said, "I'm a pastor of the Baptist Temple in Wooster, Ohio. And many, many years ago, that voice came on the phone. I can hear it tonight. There was a sob in it. There were tears in it. He said, I want a revival. I want my church to be stirred. I want a revival that'll influence this whole city and this whole countryside." And he said, "I've been praying for a revival." And he said, "I'd give my life for a revival." And as he talked on, I said, "Oh, Lord, don't let him say what I think he's about to say. I want you to come to Wooster, Ohio." But that's what he said. He said, I've been praying for God to send someone and that we can have a revival. I couldn't say no. I said, yes, I'll come. I'll never forget that man. I'll never forget that week. I'll never forget that revival. I drove into that town about 36 or 7 years ago at 5 o'clock on a Monday afternoon, and there was this preacher. He helped me with my things into a little motel room. And in that room were two straight back chairs and a little table about the size of the top of this pulpit and a bed and a lamp, and that's about it. He said to me, Brother Tom, could we pray? I said, sure. He got down by one of those straight back chairs. I got down by another one. And he began to pray. And he began to call on God and tell God. He loved him. And he believed his promises. And he believed that God could send a revival. And he said, oh Lord, I'd give my life for a revival. I would give my life for revival. And oh, when he got through praying, I felt like the windows of heaven had been opened, and I hardly felt like I was capable of praying. And when we arose, there was a puddle of tears down on the floor. Oh, he said, I'll be back after you about 7 o'clock. And that man of God walked in that room about 7 o'clock, and he said, Brother Tom, could we pray? I said, sure. Got down on his knees by that chair and me by this one. And when he finished praying, so help me God. I'm not using an expression. I'm using the truth. When he arose from his knees, there was a puddle of tears. And he said, oh God, I'd give my life for revival. He said that night after service, I'll be after at 9 o'clock. Next morning, 9 o'clock, here he came and said, could we pray? Same thing again. We got in his car, drove up and down the road. Let me tell you, a lot of folks are saying, oh, God will do it if we just ask him to. No, God won't. I want to tell you, God won't do it until God's people are obedient and do what God wants them to do. It'll never happen until we obey God. We drove up and down those roads, no lunch hour. 5 o'clock in the afternoon, back to that little room, back down on his knees, back again. He poured out his heart to God. Oh, God, he said, I'd give my life for revival. About Friday night came, there'd been a little trickle of blessing. A young man came to me, I later found his 18 years of age, held his Bible like he loved it and believed it, and he said, preacher, I want you to pray for God to save my daddy. You know, there are a lot of Christians ought to be doing that. I tell you, if God could get Christians on fire to win their loved ones and members of their families, we'd have a revival. Amen. Young man said, my daddy's 54 years of age. My daddy's a drunkard. He said, if God had saved my daddy in this meeting, he said, I would think it was the greatest meeting that I've ever been in if God had saved my daddy. Will you pray? I said, yes, I will. I began to pray. Sunday morning came. Preacher said to me, now we're going to have all the adults in at 10 o'clock, Sunday school hour. All the adults, auditorium seated, 650 people. Said just adults. When 10 o'clock came, there was only two vacant seats in that auditorium. Every seat was filled. And there were two seats on the end of the second pew. And there sat a young man at the end of that pew. And that young man kept looking back and looking back. And after a while, the ushers brought two people down, his mother and his father, and seated them there beside him. Oh, that morning I looked at that young man, and I said, there's a young man that believes that in answer to prayer, that witnessing, that God can save his father. And when the invitation was given, I saw that young man do something I've never seen anybody else do before. I've seen this. He turned to his father, put his hands upon his father's shoulders, and I knew what he was saying. He was saying to his father, Father, I want you to be saved. And I saw that father look at him and smile, but shake his head gently. Then I saw the young man put his arms around him and lay his head upon his shoulders. And I saw him weep and hug his father. And his father shook his head, gently and kindly, but he shook his head. Then I saw that young man. I saw him get down on his knees in the middle aisle and reach out and put his arms around his father's limbs. And he looked up in his face, and his father looked down at him. And in a moment, he reached down, put his arms under his son. They came to the altar, and when they came, I literally believe God opened the windows of heaven. Amen. And 63 other adults beside his father came that morning and were saved in that church. Oh, I remember something kind of humorous but wonderful. That godly pastor said to me, now 11 o'clock we go on the radio. Big stuff, you know. We go on the radio. And he said, we'll have to be all through with this at 11 o'clock. I remember what was happening when 11 o'clock came. That boy had just brought his mom and his dad. His mother already saved, but he just brought them. And 63 other adults came. And the people were busy. They were four and five deep in the altar, leading people to Christ, men and women. And that pastor came by the mic and he said, we don't have time to go on the radio now. We're too busy. Well, I'd like to see that happen again. I'd like to see the blessing of God so come until we interrupt our programs and upset things and change things. We need the fire from heaven tonight. That's what we need. We need that more than we need anything else in the world. We need it more than we need better buildings and more buses and better Sunday school literature. We need the fire of God from heaven tonight, and God is still willing to send it when people meet God's requirements and meet God's need and do what God has said. Now, I don't know what happened to my text, but this unsaved king said, what kind of a man is this? They said, well, he's a hairy man. He was a hairy man. You know, Elijah was a hairy man, and everybody knew him by that name. That's the way they identified him. They said, well, he was a hairy man. And this wicked old king Ahaziah said, why, that's Elijah. But he identified his outward appearance. I want in the next very few minutes to say something about his inward appearance. What kind of a man was this? This man was a man who walked by faith. I like that. You know, we've just about got it where nobody has to believe God much anymore. The program will get it done. It'll happen somehow. We're so affluent, we don't think we need to walk by faith anymore. I thank God for this good man willing to stick his neck out. I want to tell you, until you're willing to stick your neck out and wade out deep in the water, you're not going to get much from God. God's looking for people who are willing to trust him and believe that by faith they can have what they need to do the work of God. He walked by faith. One day, God said to him, won't you go back in the woods? I preached a sermon on Elijah at the brook. But God just said, go back in the woods. He just made the greatest announcement a prophet ever made in the Old Testament. He just said, there's not going to be rain for 3.5 years until I say for it to rain. And then God said, get back to the brook. You know, that's where God wants us tonight. God said to Elijah, hide yourself. You won't ever be any more up here than you are behind the door of your home and in the prayer closet. Well, I want to say to you tonight, God wants us to be a people who dare to believe God. Amen. That by faith we can walk and not by sight. Oh, people today, they got to see it all before it happens. One day the Lord said to Elijah, all right, you can leave the brook. But it looked like God was just bearing down on him a little more. He said, I want you to go over to a widow's home. Now, my mother was a widow for 26 years. And my sweet mother's still living, by the way. She's 98 years old. And it's because of her, I believe, and the grace of God, I'm standing in this pulpit tonight. But a widow in the Bible is a picture of desolation, a picture of need, a picture of poverty. When God wanted to describe the destruction of Jerusalem. He said, she sits like a widow. And God said to Elijah, I want you to go over to a widow's house. And she and a little boy over there. And she'll feed you. And when old Elijah got there, she's picking up sticks and probably weeping. She said, I have a little handful of meal. And I'm going to cook it, and my boy and I are going to eat it. And then we're going to die. It's all we have. That's where God sent him. But oh, listen, somebody believed God. For she went to that meal barrel, and the Bible said, the barrel of meal wasted not. It was full every morning and every evening. That's the God we have tonight. Oh, listen, we need some people who dare to count on God and to believe God and to take God into our affairs and believe God. I preached on one radio station for 20 years. And I saw hundreds and hundreds of people come to our church and write us who were saved, that radio program. But it's a work of faith. And I remember many years ago having to raise the money for that station and other stations. And one morning, I was in my office, and I must leave and go and pay the radio bill in those days. And I said to the Lord, Lord, now this won't sound big to you in this day, but I said, Lord, I lack $20, have enough to pay that bill, but it's due now. I don't mean tomorrow. I don't mean this afternoon. I mean now. They're waiting for me. And I didn't have it all. I said to myself, I believe God. I believe God's bigger than $20. I believe God knows the need. I believe God has seen these people saved. I believe God has heard the word go out. I believe God knows this. I believe God will do something about it. I just picked up what I had, started for that radio station. And I remember seeing a woman across the street, and she stopped. She opened her purse, and that's always a great experience. When a woman gets in a purse, I've been married to a sweet lady 52 years, and I want to tell you, when Joyce goes through a purse, it's like moving. It's like going into a new house or something. I saw her open her purse. She's going into her purse, but I didn't think anything about it. The light changed. She started. I started. In the middle of the street, she stopped me. She said, Brother Malone, she said, this morning I was praying, and God laid you on my heart. And she said, I have $20 of the Lord's money. And we're standing right in the middle of the street, and the light's about to change. And she said, I want to give it to you. I stood in the middle of that street, and I said, thank God for a God who lives and sees and knows and never fails. And that's the God we have tonight. Oh, I want to tell you, there's nothing wrong with walking by faith. You don't have to see it. I remember when we started Emmanuel Baptist Church, my wife and I, 49 years ago, this October. I remember we started that church. We just thank God for the privilege. We spent the last penny we had on earth to buy our meal just before we started that church. And God met our needs. While the old saints would come along and shake hands with me, and they'd leave something in my hand, I'd look at it, and it was money. After about 6 or 8 weeks, I think the men of the church thought about me getting this money firsthand. They said, well, we better put you on a salary, Brother Tom. And I was dumb enough to let them do it. If I'd have just stayed the way it was, they were just shaking hands with me all the time. But today, if a fellow won't start a church, he's got to be supported first. Oh, what's ever happened to trusting God? What's ever happening to saying to God, I'm going to do it if I die. I'm going to do it if I starve. I'm going to do it if I fail. I'm going to try. I'm going to trust you. Oh, Elijah walked by faith. Now, I can't preach all my sermon. I have 7 points. That's one of them. And I'm going to let you go in just a few minutes. Pray fast. The faster you pray, the faster I'll preach. But Elijah was a separated man. You know, nobody ever said of Elijah, this man is a good mixer. Listen, preacher, if anybody ever says that about you, You better go get on your knees and ask God to change your life. Nobody ever said, oh, Elijah's a good mixer. No, Elijah's a good separator. He was a great divider. Elijah knew the true God from the false God. Elijah knew the difference between old-fashioned salvation and religion. Elijah knew about the blood of the Son of God that was to come on the cross of Calvary. Elijah was a separator. And I want to tell you, what we need in America today is a lot of preaching on old-fashioned, come ye out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Well, I see the people of God meddling with things that the God's holy word said don't ever get mixed up in that. Now, I might make somebody mad. I don't know. In fact, I have right here in the edge of my Bible, make somebody mad right here on point number two. But I see a lot of folks fooling with the denominational religion and ecclesiastical authority and modernism and unbelief and people that tamper with the Bible and question the virgin birth and deity of our Lord, the Son of God. I want to tell you, God's not in it. You say, well, preacher, what about the Southern Baptists? Yeah, what about them? That's what I'm talking about. I think it's a disgrace to God and to fundamentalism for Baptist preachers and Baptist people to fool with the denomination whose schools are rotten and teach preachers of Bibles, not the Word of God. God will hold people accountable for that. Here's a man that was a separator. He never fraternized with Ahab's court. He had no desire to wear their royal robes and indulge in their luxury and their plenty. He was a separator. And I believe that's the kind of Christian we need tonight. Oh, folks say, well, Brother Tom, times have changed. Yeah, they sure have. A lot of people have lowered the standards. And like the preacher said tonight, they don't have the courage to stand up for what's right and be a peculiar. They want to be popular. God said be peculiar. And you don't have to work at being a nut. Just get saved and enjoy it and thank God for it and try to win somebody else and everybody will know you're a nut. You don't have to work at it. It'll come naturally if you'll do what God says to. He was a separator. Oh, I heard old Dr. Ironsides preach years ago. God bless those old men. Oh, I lament. Last Sunday afternoon, down in Ohio in my motel room, I got to think of those old men and how they stood and how they said, I'd rather die than ever lower the flag. I got to think of those old men now gone to heaven. I said, oh, God, you got to raise up some young men like those great men. Old Dr. Ironside said, he's a boy. He went out in the field and caught a wild bird and took it home. He said to his mother, I'm going to put it in the cage with a canary. She said, Harry, you don't do that. He said, oh, yes, said, if I'll put it in the cage with a canary, the canary will teach it to sing. We'll have the sweetest music in the world. She said, no, Harry, it won't work that way. She said, don't put that wild bird in that cage with a canary, because that canary can't teach that wild bird to sing. He said, oh, Mom, I'm going to put it in this cage, and that canary will teach it to sing such sweet little notes and songs. They put the wild bird in the cage with a canary, and in a few days, the little old canary was squawking like the wild bird. And I want to tell you, you get in the cage with the wrong kind of people, and in a few days, you'll be squawking just like they are. God wants a separated people. What's happened to the day when men wore their hair like a man, and a woman dressed modestly, and preachers called a spade, and specified what they're talking about? I like the kind of preaching that our brother Garris did tonight. Nobody has to ask, I wonder how he stands. Everybody knows how he stands. Oh, God help us tonight. We need, Elijah was a separated man. He wasn't a good mixer at all. Elijah was a man with a high spirit. Now, I don't really know how to explain this. And you say, well, you ought not to preach on something you don't fully understand. No, if I did that, I never would preach anymore. I preach a lot of things I don't fully understand. But if God said it, I believe it. That's all there is to it. But Elijah, you know, seemed to be a man with a high spirit. Why, when Elijah appeared in Ahab's court, he came from the rocky, craggy mountains of Gilead, on the other side of Jordan, clothed in an old furry garment, with his hair flowing in the wind. He came from the mountaintops and stood in Ahab's court and made his announcement about the judgment of God. I read of him when the 3.5 years were expired. He had called a drought upon the earth. Now he must get water. And on Mount Carmel, as close to God as he could get, he falls down, puts his head between his knees. I'll tell you, that's a good position. That's a humble position. That'll take the pride out of you. That'll keep you from depending on your doctor's degree. That'll keep you from depending on a good outline and good stories. And he got down on his knees on Mount Carmel. And on that mountain he prayed until God opened the windows of heaven and the rain came. I see old Elijah again. He goes to Mount Horeb. After he, under the juniper tree, he ate the angel's meal. He heads for the mountain where he heard the still small voice of God. He was a man of a high spirit. Why, when this incident happened, of which I've read tonight, the Bible said he's sitting on a hill. Everything in the Bible is important. I believe in the verbal inspiration of the Bible. I believe all the ifs are inspired and the ands. I believe even the punctuation is the way it ought to be. He's sitting on a hill. It looked like Elijah was trying to say, this world's not my home. I'm a man of the sky. My spirit is not in this slough of filth. I'm God's man, and I live on the mountaintop. You know, God must have honored him, for one day when the Lord Jesus was to climb that Mount of Transfiguration with 3 of his disciples, he said to the Father, Father, I want Elijah to come. I want the man of the high hills. I want the mountain man, the man with a high spirit. I want you to bring Elijah. And the man who'd been gone, I think about 1,500 years, came down out of heaven, and on a mountaintop he met the Lord. And I want to tell you, he was a man of a high spirit. He was spirit controlled. I like to read what some of the folks said about Elijah. Why, when he met Obadiah did some good, but he's in the wrong place. He was in Ahab's court. And listen, because you can do a little dab of good and you're still in the wrong place doesn't mean God's hand is upon you and you're where God wants you to be. And old Elijah said, well, if you're looking for me and old Ahab's looking for me, go tell him you found him. Obadiah said, no, I'm not going to do that. He said, I know as soon as I'm gone, the Spirit will take you somewhere else and I won't be able to find you. One day when God took old Elijah home, the school of the prophets, the sons of the prophets, said, why, I think I know what happened to him. The Spirit of God has picked him up. He's up there in a mountain or a valley somewhere. Let's go look for him. Heard old Dr. Roloff preaching on it one time. And he talking about those sons of the prophets saying, let's go look for him. The Spirit of God's just taking him up there somewhere. Old Dr. Roloff said, if you're going to look for him, you better be able to fly. Because he's gone high, high, high. Oh, that's what we need. We need some people tonight like old Abraham. You know the reason Abraham dwelled in a tent? Because he said, this world's not my home. You say, well, where do you get that? In the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. He sojourned in the land of promise as a stranger in that land, dwelling in tents because he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And we need some spirit-controlled people. I don't mean wildfire. I mean people who say like that preacher said, When God sent a great revival, that preacher said, I'd give my life for revival. We need some people tonight to say, I'd give my life. If I could see God use it to keep people out of hell, I'd give my life. Paul said it. Said, I could wish myself accursed from Christ. I could wish myself gone and even accursed if it would mean the salvation of my loved ones. Amen. I can hardly preach without thinking of my dear father. My father never saw me until I was 6 weeks old. He was a drunkard and a vagabond and a gambler. He broke my sweet mother's heart, broke our home when I was a little five and a half year old boy. I preached 25 years and my father was not saved. You say, oh, preacher, surely you should have won him in 25 years. I want to tell you, I did every ordinary thing any of you have ever done to win a loved one. I talked to him on the phone. I went to see him in Houston, Texas. I brought him to my house and paid his way to come to see me and took him to church. I'd go to Houston to preach and I'd go get my dad. He'd sit on the front row like these people tonight. I asked a lot of preachers in Houston, go talk to my dad. And some of them went and some of them never bothered. But I remember one night when God got a hold of Tom Malone's heart. I was driving down through Ohio the other day going to a meeting and I saw a sign set to Barberton. I said, oh Lord, that's where one of the greatest nights of my life took place. For that night, I went into a little motel room and I said to God, I'd rather die than my father go to hell. I've seen Dad saved by the hundreds. My dad's going to hell. And there that night and the next day, I labored with God until God said to me, well, would you give your life to see your dad saved? And I want to tell you, God showed me something about Tom Malone. Wasn't pretty. God showed me that pride and selfishness, and God ripped me to pieces, and God poured me out like pouring out a glass of water. I called my wife the next day and said, I'll be home, but I'm going to Houston, Texas. My dad's got to be saved. 3 days later, I walked in his yard, and I said to my dad, 728 Apache Street in Houston, Texas, in his backyard, I said, Dad, I want you to be saved. And my dad dropped his head like you'd hit him with a pole axe. And he said, Tom, I want to be saved. Hey. And in his backyard, he was saved. Hey. And about 6 years ago, my brother and I stood and lowered his little old body into a grave outside of Houston, Texas. And I remembered him waving his hand toward Jesus and saying to me, Tom, I'm going to meet you in heaven. Let me tell you, there's not enough money in Texas to buy that for me tonight. I want to tell you tonight, God wants us to be controlled by the Holy Ghost, by the Spirit of God. I must close. He was a man of intercessory prayer. He knew how to pray. You know, intercessory prayer, I wonder if we understand it. You never ask God something for yourself. Intercessory prayer, you never pray about something for you. Intercessory prayer is always for others. He prayed and it didn't rain. He prayed and it fired. He prayed and fire came. He was a man of intercessory prayer. One day a man came, Charles Finney. 100,000 souls were saved in Rochester, New York, and the surrounding area. Man came to Charles Finney and said, do you know a man by the name of Abel Clary? Charles Finney said, I've heard his name. He said, well, I'm concerned about Abel Clary. Charles Finney said, why? He said, he's the strangest man I ever saw. He said, I'm concerned about it. He's living in my home. Said, I'm worried about Abel Clary. Said, he rarely ever sleeps. Said, I hear him groaning and travailing and calling on God all hours of the night. Says, I open his door sometimes. He's laying prostrate on his face in his room. And he said, I hear him groaning and travailing and praying. And he rarely ever eats much. And he rarely ever sleeps, I suppose, because I hear him praying all hours of the day and night. I don't know what to do with him. Charles Finney said, don't do anything with him. Please leave him alone. And everybody's read about 100,000 souls. And Charles G. Finney's name. But who ever heard of Abel Clary? who behind the door knew how to intercede until the arm of God was moved. There's no substitute for prayer. I thank God for a prayer partner I've had for 52 years. Yeah, about 55 years, really. My wife and I used to pray together before we were married. We prayed about getting married. Amen. She said to me one day, when you get $1,000, we get married. About 6 weeks later, she said, how are you coming on the money? I said, I have $29.87. She said, that's close enough. Let's go ahead and get married. You know, if there's a man here tonight that doesn't have a wife, get one. Dummy, don't go through life without a wife. I thank God for a prayer partner. And I want to tell you, God hears and answers prayer. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe you can go to the throne of grace and God will listen to you? If you don't believe it, you need to get where you do believe it and where God will hear you. Elijah was a man of courage. I wish I had time to talk about that a while, but Elijah departed from this world in an unusual way. He went like I'd like to go. Oh, a lot of folks say to me, you know, preacher, I'm homesick for heaven. I'm not. I got a little sweet daughter over there. I want to see her. I'll tell you, when I see my sweet little Sylvia Elaine, hold her in my arms, it's going to be a wonderful thing. But I'm not homesick for heaven. I've looked at too many holes in the ground, and I know that grass is not real grass. And the flowers will soon fade. I don't want to go that way. I'm not looking, as we've heard said so many times, for the undertaker. I'm looking for the uppertaker. And one day, the Bible says Elijah was a man, you know, that walked with God. And one day, it might have been late in the evening, the Lord said to Elijah, we've walked together, and we've talked together, and it's getting late, and we're closer to my house than we are yours. Just come on home. And he caught Elijah away, and he went to heaven without dying. That's the way I'd like to go. I'm not afraid to go the other way. But oh, I'd like to be here when the Lord comes. I'd like to be here when the shout is heard in heaven and the trumpet blows and the Son of God comes back to this earth again. I'd like to go like Elijah went. But above all in this world, I'd love to hear him say when he comes, well done. Oh, the Lord's coming. And we're going to meet him and stand before him. Oh, to be like this man, a man of courage and faith and prayer that pleases and honors God. Let's pray. Every head bowed. Now, Lord, the hour's late. People are tired. Oh, we ask you tonight that the Holy Spirit of God do a work in our midst. Lord, a lot of people are telling me it's too late. These are the last days, and they are the last days. But we know not going to believe it's too late. Lord, I'd like to be tonight just like that preacher in Wooster, Ohio, who said, I'd give my life. And he made me believe it. And he evidently made you believe it. Oh, God, tonight I'm preaching to people who need a new start. I'm preaching to people tonight who need to get up on a higher plateau. I'm preaching to some sweet people tonight whose loved ones are lost. Sons and daughters, mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters. Oh, God, tonight, if you don't do something for us and stir our hearts like the days of old, our loved ones are going to hell. And America's going to hell. Oh, God. Will somebody tonight come to you and say, I'll give my life for revival. I'll do anything. I'll hear your voice. I'll obey your call. I'll do what you want me to do. I surrender everything.
I'd give my life for a revival. God, speak to hearts tonight, I pray. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, wonder how many of you dear people tonight say to me, "Preacher, I have a lost loved one. You thought of him when I mentioned my father. Say, I have a loved one that's lost." Oh, a preacher put his arms around me some time ago and he said, "I have four brothers who are lost. Since then, he's won one of them, and one of them have died." I wonder how many tonight, son or daughter, husband or wife, brother or sister, lost and needs to be saved or going to hell. Wonder how many of you tonight are willing to say, "Oh Lord, I'll give anything. I'll give my life to see my boy saved, my daughter, my husband, my wife, my mother, my father, my brother, my sister. I'll give anything to see him saved. Here I am. I'll do your will." If you'll say that tonight and you want God to use you to win your lost loved ones to Christ, I want you to get up right where you are and come. We're going to pray together in a minute. And you just come and stay. We're going to pray together. We don't need a song. You just come. I'm going to say something else to you in just a moment. You that say, I want to put my life where God can use it. I'd give my life for revival. I want my loved ones saved. I want you to come. Is there someone tonight say to me, "Preacher, I'm afraid I don't know what it means to be controlled with the Spirit of God and full of the Spirit of God. I'm afraid I don't know what it means. I'd like to know." I want you to get up out of your seat. You know, the Lord loves you. Your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. He wants to fill you. He wants to control you. Will you just get up and come and kneel with these? Is there somebody tonight say, "Preacher, our church is dead. We don't see people saved and baptized, and our church is dead. It breaks my heart." You know, one person can start a fire. I wonder if there's someone tonight say, "Oh, my church is cold and dead. I'd like for God to use me to stir the fire and to stir my church." Just get up out of your seat and come and let God take your life. That's right. Just come right on. Just come right on. We're going to pray in just a moment. Oh, Lord, I ask you tonight in Jesus' name, do something in our hearts. This tent wasn't put up just for preaching and singing and fellowship. Lord, this tent was erected that lives might be changed. God, give us a vision tonight and a broken heart, and help us to quit playing and help us to mean business with God. Bless these precious people. I've sat where they're sitting with a lost loved one. I know what it means. I know the tears and the agony, the awful nightmares of seeing my father in hell. I know what it means. Lord, help them tonight. Oh, God, help them do what those two sailor boys did in our meeting in Long Beach, California, just a few weeks ago. They left the service and went to the ship, won their buddies to Christ. One went to the phone, called his mother, won her to the Lord that night. Oh God, do something in hearts tonight. And Lord, I pray this would be a moment of surrender. Pour us out like water. Search the deep of our soul and examine our motives and our life, and bring us in tune with thee. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you.
When you're done praying, you make your way back to your seat. You've heard great truth tonight. A man can try to ignore the truth, he can try to avoid the truth, but he cannot change the truth. Amen. And what the Bible says is like a rock crushing stone. That's what the truth does. How many of you say, David, I believe tonight, God helping me, there's something I could do, boy, before I pillow my head. There's a note I could write. There's a phone call I could make. There's someone I could see in my family, in my neighborhood, in my acquaintance who needs Christ. And God helping me, I'm going to do it tonight. Hold your hand up, would you? Yeah, amen. Please remember tonight at 11 o'clock starts the all-night prayer meeting. They're asking only that you come for 1 hour, just 1 hour. How many of you believe in prayer? Hold your hand up, would you? Yeah. How many of you believe that prayer moves God? Hold your hand up. How many of you believe there's nothing more profitable you could do tonight than spend 1 hour in prayer? Hold your hand up. Oh, I believe every bit of that, and so do you. I want to encourage you to come. If you can't stay long, stay just a few minutes. Try to stay the hour. It'll go from 11 until 6 a.m., praying through the night. Amen. Boy, we want to encourage you to come to that. Those of you who have youngsters at the nursery workers have asked if you would, please pick them up and then fellowship, okay? Evidently, some of the parents have been just a tad slow at getting over there. And we'd ask you to go take care of that. You know, they've had the kids for a long time tonight. And you ought to thank those nursery workers, don't you think so? That's a thankless job. Take a few minutes just to tell them how much you deeply, deeply appreciate. Let's all stand together. Going to dismiss in prayer. Yes, there's a tent right over here with displays in it. Please come and take a look at the people who have taken the time to put their displays up over there, and be sure and just walk through and take a moment to look at what's been so graciously provided. Let's pray and then you're dismissed. Father, how thankful we are for the word that we've heard tonight. Father, this is a warm and beautiful evening in Dallas, Texas. Now, Father, take the truth that we've heard this beautiful night and literally score it into the fabric of our souls such that we'll never forget it. God, let it be life-changing. We want to serve you with integrity. Thank you for these dear people who've come. Bless the prayer meeting tonight. God, give us the courage to pray and do what's right in Jesus' name. Bless us now as we go. Watch over us. Give us watch care. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. Shake someone's hand and you're dismissed.